Well, it is so good to see you all, and I just first want to start by saying thank you for allowing this time for me to be away. It was 4 Sundays, and I know that was no small thing, but I really want to thank you all for this time away, for rest and renewal, especially for Micah, wherever she is, for holding down the fort in all the ways. For Debbie, for overseeing our transition to push pay, which was like also no small thing, and just all the admin support there, I really appreciate it. For Trent and his leadership, for Jamel and Katie and Trent for teaching. I know that you all were blessed hearing from each of them, and just all of the leaders who stepped up during this time of transition with our children and youth and this time of preparation. If you haven't seen our kids' space, y'all should go up there and take a look, because our children's ministry team did amazing work up there in July, and I know my kids were so excited to get back this Sunday and to see it upstairs. And so just thank you to each of you for the grace and patience that allowed me to step away, and I'm so grateful. I really am. I'm so, so grateful. I spent a lot of time resting, a lot of time reading, and reading for fun, and hiking, and going to all of my favorite places in the Parklands. And just spending time doing things that bring me life, which was part of what this was for. But I also spend a lot of time with my kiddos and with my family, and my extended family came to visit, even got to do a trip to St. Louis with all of the Wallaces, and that was an adventure. Andrew saw his first St. Louis Cardinals game, and Lindsay, I'll show you a picture after. He was unhinged. He was so excited. Latest that boy has ever stayed up. And by the end of it was the hottest week ever to be in St. Louis, but by the end of it, he was shirtless and cheering and said, "We won the championship." So, worst season ever for St. Louis Cardinals, yeah, but he went to one game that we won, and he's convinced we won the championship. So, it was just good for my soul to be away, and I couldn't have done it without each of you making space for me to do so. And sort of earlier, a couple weeks ago, in a moment of reflection and in gratitude about my time away, I was inspired by this thought for this new series, because I really do feel like I get by with a little help from my friends, and that includes all of you here, each of my friends here, and so thank you. On the last weekend of my leave, so last Sunday, last sort of Friday through Sunday, one of my oldest friends from college came to visit, and we had a little girls' weekend. We realized we talk pretty often throughout the week on Marco Polo, so kind of messages here and there, but we realized that we had not seen each other in person, in the flesh, in over a year. In fact, we couldn't recall the last time that we had seen each other in person. And so we got together for the weekend. Our kids were with our in-laws, who both live in the same county, because our husbands are best friends too. And they spent the weekend there with grandparents, and she came here, and we did all of the things that we love to do. Talked late into the night on the back porch, went to the farm for lunch and blueberry picking. We watched a Lou City soccer game, and even worshiped together at a neighboring church last Sunday. We realized we hadn't worshiped together in years. I have proof of friendship, because we're at that age now where if you didn't take a bad selfie at a Lou City game, it didn't happen. We're like, the only picture we took the whole weekend was that one right there. And so we have proof of friendship. And as we sat down with our food, we'd gotten all situated on Saturday on that porch at Huber's. If you've been, there was live music. We'd already gone picking, and we were sitting out there. And she looked over at me and smiled and exclaimed, "This is good for my soul." Ever had one of those moments? This was a long time coming. She is one of those soul friends. Her name is Sarah. You know, in the busyness of work and parenting and life, she's an elementary school teacher. She's got 3 kids. It's so hard. And maybe you feel this way too. It is so hard to make friends as adults. It's so hard. Even harder to keep them. Even harder to maintain, to stay caught up. And in the limited time we do have, as we were kind of talking and reflecting, Sarah and I long to invest in these kind of relationships. Spiritual friendships. Spiritual friends who value the same things we do as people of faith. That is, becoming more like Jesus in how we live and love. Over the next few weeks, so we're going to talk about what it means to be a spiritual friend, how to cultivate these in our life and in our church today. and why it's important. So that's kind of where we're going to go over the next couple of weeks. The importance of cultivating these kind of relationships in our life of faith today. And why, well, simply put, friendship was a core value of Jesus. It was a core value of Jesus. According to Larry Stess in his book, Think Red, which some of you read with me, it's been a couple of years now, been about 3 years, I think. In his book, on learning to live and love like Jesus, he says this, that Jesus valued friendship with God, whom he called Father. He valued friendship with the family of God. So he regarded sort of his disciples, his friends, as family. And he valued friendship with the forgotten, namely the poor. This core value of friendship expressed through love of God and love of neighbor was crucial to Jesus, central to his life and ministry. And Larry Stess's point throughout his whole book is that if we want to become more like Jesus, then we need to share his same values. We need to value what Jesus valued, and it all starts with friendship. Our scripture for today comes from John 15, and I'm sure it's a familiar passage for you, but I'm going to read now verses 9 and following. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. If we think about friendship with God, it's a friend of God who will give time and attention to setting aside time to meet with God alone, to pray and to listen intently for the voice of God without distraction in our lives, like canceling the noise just a few weeks ago. And a friend of God will make time for corporate worship. All of this, I think, is another way of saying that we would abide with God, abide in God's presence. And in fact, this passage from John comes from that whole teaching of Jesus where he talks about abide, abide in my love. There are about 57 more verses we could have read, but I chose this portion because it talks about the love of friends. This is another way of saying abide in God's love, remain in my love, our passage said. This is the only place in this passage of scripture where we see Jesus call his disciples friends. And it is so clear throughout the Gospels that his teachings and through his teachings that he loved his friends deeply. He regarded them as family. In the Gospel of Matthew, there's this episode where Jesus is teaching in this really crowded house, and word about him has begun to spread. Some of the synagogue leaders have already kind of checked in on him a few times. And his mother and his brother come and stand outside the house where he's teaching, and someone relays that to Jesus. And he's like, yo, your mom's here. You might want to go outside and say something. She looks like, I just imagine that, right? She looks like she needs to talk to you. Maybe she was getting worried for Jesus. Maybe she heard he was in the area and just wanted to say hi. Maybe she was just checking in. We're not sure why. But Jesus, now that I'm a mom, I kind of get this moment. Jesus, in this moment, takes it as an opportunity to teach all the people who are listening there what it means to be a part of the family of God. We don't actually hear the exchange. I sure hope he went outside and said hi to his mom. Boys. We don't get that exchange, but what we do get is Jesus saying this to all the people who are gathered there. He replied to the man who told him this, who relayed this message, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." His point is, anyone who does the will of God, these two are my family. This is an important group and mix of people. They belong together because I love them and I've commanded them to love one another. He loved that deeply, his disciples. And his inner circle was a diverse mix of folks. We know that. It was a pretty diverse mix. This is what Larry Stess says. There were well-to-do tax collectors like Matthew and Zacchaeus who, prior to meeting Jesus, very likely made a living exploiting the poor. There are ordinary blue-collared fishermen like Peter, James, and John. There's a political zealot named Simon, a thief named Judas, and a weird religious prophet named John who lived in the wilderness and ate locusts for lunch. And all of these were part of Jesus' inner circle, including several women, as Larry goes on to note. People from every cross-section of society who would have never kept company with one another if it weren't for the love of Jesus. Think about that. A group of people who would have never kept company if it weren't for Jesus. Jesus valued the diversity of his followers. He valued their diversity, regardless of their social class, religious persuasion, ethnicity. He valued friendship with them. Anyone from any place who was willing to do the will of his Father was family. "Love one another," he commanded, "as I have loved you." And inspired by that love, a friend of Jesus will befriend the oppressed. Simply put, Larry says in his book, Think Red, they will give special attention to the poor, speak out on behalf of those who are oppressed, way where no one is treated as if their life doesn't matter. A community built on the values of Jesus will not remain silent in the face of suffering and in the face of injustice. A Jesus who respected the dignity of all people and who loved and valued the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized, the forgotten. He called them friends. So to truly and fully love God and love our neighbors, we need all three of these relational networks. We need all three of them. They are one feeds the next, and they must be in balance for a healthy life of faith. Think right now and probably come up with examples of churches that emphasize one over the other. Different churches that really emphasize a worship experience, right? Encountering God through worship and prayer, like a Pentecostal holiness tradition, and others who really focus salvation and study within a community of believers. They focus on that individual experience and helping people grow deeper in their knowledge of Scripture, like more evangelical churches. And still others focus on service to the poor and issues of justice. We might label more progressive churches. Oh, this is really going in and out, isn't it? Yes. Are you with me? Some never change. It didn't work, right? Sure. Pause, please. You know, what's funny is that for 4 weeks you guys didn't have any issues, right? It was perfect when you weren't here. Retweet that. Thanks, Linz. Yeah. All right, it's okay. We're going to keep going. If you all can, yeah. If it keeps getting bad, you can bring me another one. To truly and fully love God and love our neighbors, we need all three of them. They need to be in balance. Each drives the other. I believe we can't fully have one without the other. I mean, think about it. We can't say that we love God and hate our brother or ignore the needs of the poor. We also love God by loving our neighbors. And the more that we study and learn the ways of Jesus in Scripture, like within a family of faith, the more we will experience God, understand God and what breaks God's heart, which means we will be more passionate about standing with those who are suffering. Our hearts break for what breaks God's heart. Friends, we must give passion and attention to all three of these. We have to. I love it when I get a revival mic. Here at Revolution, I believe that we prioritize, we value this kind of friendship. I believe we prioritize our Sunday morning experience and value sort of authentic worship and opportunities to come to the table of grace every Sunday through prayer and confession. And we welcome all people from all walks of life to do that. I also believe we have a heartbeat for service, for going to the forgotten. We have compassion for those who are struggling in our city, but also a desire to learn more, which really encourages me as your pastor. There are people who are eager to learn more, especially in our new area and in our community. How are people struggling? I see this in those who are passionate about homeless outreach or serving at Grace Kids or donating to our local food pantry week after week, coming and picking it up and delivering it, often without anyone else knowing. And those who are excited for advocating for justice in our city through clout. But if we think about this triangle and this balance and the value of friendship, if there's one area, one relational network I believe we need to strengthen as a church, it's our friendships with one another within the family of God. You know, prior to these last couple of weeks, even months before that, I've heard from so many, some new, some who've been here for years, some who've been here from the beginning, who've said something to the effect of, I'm having a hard time feeling connected to this body of believers. I wish I knew more people. There are so many faces I don't recognize. I've heard that for several months. I wish I felt more connected to this body of believers. There's a desire to deepen our friendships and connections with one another, to get to know each other beyond just the Sunday morning experience. A longing, like Sarah and I have when we meet, a longing of like really doing life with these friends. And it makes sense that we would feel this way. I mean, with all that we've been through, it makes sense. In a new location, with many new people, with some who have left, it makes sense that we would be in this place. Every church goes through seasons. They do. But I think it's time that we do something about it. Some of you have, out of this desire that you've shared with me, some new things have popped up, like our women's ministry that I'm so excited about that seeks to connect women across all stages of life for support and encouragement. The Bible journaling class that took one person speaking up and saying, you know what, my house group dissolved and I really miss studying scripture with a group of people every week. I would like to lead this. And so they meet every Sunday. We've seen it in the Young Families Brunch, which was Rachel's attempt to be like, I see all of you out there, and none of you know each other, young families. Because we're not always here every single Sunday, and so that was an attempt to connect folks with young families or young adults to get to know one another better. But that is only the beginning, and that can only be the beginning. I believe we all must be intentional about forming these kinds of spiritual friendships right now in this season. And some of you might be sitting here going, hey, I've been a part of the same house group for a really long time, and I'm feeling good. I feel supported. I feel connected. Yeah. My question and challenge for you and to pray through is, are you willing to make space for someone else to feel that same connection? Because not everybody in this room feels that same way. These are friendships that are rooted in Christ for the purpose of growing in Christ. That's what I talk about when I'm saying spiritual friend. to describe these friends, a little bit more of a definition. These are friends who love one another by accepting each other where they are. That feeling of belonging, to be loved for who you are, sort of quirks and all. They are committed and loyal in every season. These are friends who love each other where we are. These friends also share burdens with one another. They pray for one another. James 5 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. These spiritual friends teach each other. They study God's word together consistently. They ask questions. They correct one another. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And finally, they encourage each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the kind of friendship that encourages us in our faith. It challenges us to study and grow and hold us accountable to the ways and teachings of Jesus. When we are not acting like Christ, they correct us and call us out in love. When we are hurt, or when we hurt one another, they seek reconciliation. Together, we walk this journey of faith to become more like Jesus. And I can tell you, I'm not sure where I would be without these kinds of friends in my life. People that hold me accountable to the ways of Jesus and remind me the importance of befriending the forgotten, serving those who are in need, and not just reminding me, but doing it with me. My friend Sarah, I say she was a college friend, but we originally met working on staff at Camp Lucon. And in the summer of 2010, she was assigned to be my accountability partner. And what that meant was that a couple times throughout the week, you had scheduled time, about an hour, where you would sit down and you would talk about your week and how it was going and victories you'd had or things you were struggling with, and also how you could be praying for one another. It was the first time in my life I'd ever experienced an accountability partner in this way. And she encouraged me on those tough days at summer camp. But, you know, she's still that sort of presence in my life today. In fact, there are several Marco Polos back and forth that we'll send where there's a point, maybe once every few weeks, where she'll go, I'm going to share a hard truth with you now because I love you. And we have built that kind of friendship of trust where I know that she sees things I don't see. And she challenges me to think about things in a way that I might not have on my own. And she's that sounding board and that listening ear and that safe, trusted space because I know she values the same thing I value, which is becoming more like Jesus in how I live and in how I love other people. And in so doing, she helps me see those things. She helps me become more gracious and less angry in challenging situations. And overall, I believe she helps me become more like Jesus. I don't think we can learn to love God and love our neighbors without spiritual friends who are guiding us and teaching us and encouraging us and supporting us and correcting us as we walk the same path together. That's the point, as we walk the same path together. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how to cultivate these relationships in our lives today. And it starts by believing you are worthy. That you are worthy of this kind of love and belonging and friendship. That you are worthy of someone accepting you for who you are, quirks and all. Especially within a family of faith, you don't have to get yourself together before you actually get to know people here. I hope you've experienced this place to be a very loving and non-judgmental place. But just to remind you, we believe you are worthy. This is how we are hardwired. We know that there's an epidemic of loneliness in our world today, and the church has a unique opportunity to meet the needs of the world with authentic community. I believe that. But we have to do it together, and we have to believe that all people are worthy of this kind of belonging, and that includes you, it includes them or anybody else. because we can't go it alone. And so maybe I could also add to this, like, actually believe you need spiritual friends. Because I know some of us have convinced ourselves, like, now I'm good. I can go it alone. It's simpler and better that way. Believe you are worthy. In her last book, Wholehearted Faith by Rachel Held Evans, she says this. Baptism, which, you know, is when we say we are initiated into the family of God and we become friends. Baptism, like communion and confession and the creeds, reminds us that we cannot be Christians on our own. When I read that, I thought that is such a bold claim, and I bet so many people would disagree. We cannot be Christians on our own. You might be able to believe on your own, but you cannot practice on your own. I don't believe you can be a follower of the way on your own, because it is by nature a communal endeavor. We cannot follow on our own. She continues, we belong to a community larger than the one gathered here. It's a family of faith bound together by the same Holy Spirit through whom Christ was conceived, and the same Holy Spirit who descended from the heavens like a dove. Believe you are worthy. Believe you need these kind of friends, because we believe together, we practice together, we grow together. We cannot follow Jesus on our own. And then over the next couple of weeks, we'll look at these more. Believe you are worthy. Be open to these kind of friendships, which may require a little bit of work. And be intentional. We'll break these down over the next 2 weeks. But I pray that you would begin praying for this church, for people who are here and who are not here, for people you would long to get to know better. You would begin praying for these sort of opportunities, encourage to make space for others to feel connected in this body of believers. Love God and love people. We cannot say that we love God and hate our brother or ignore the needs of the poor. These are relational networks that must be in balance for us to be healthy. And I desire us to grow as we continue to dig deep together to study the ways of Jesus and experience his grace. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for who you are. We give you thanks for a Savior who came and walked this world with us. A Savior who taught us how to live, how to be human, for how you designed us to be in relationship with you and with one another. And above all, God, we give you thanks that Jesus called us his friends. And God, we know that because of that, we can have the courage and grace we need to invite anyone else along this way as well. So God, would you just give us eyes to see and ears to hear and open hearts that we might make space in our lives, in our homes, in our schedules, for cultivating these type of friendships that we know can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you so lavishly have poured out on us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.